So you didn't miss much.
Yeah.
You didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My theater is really being very good about the 20-minute time frame lately. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's 20 minutes now instead of 25 or 30. Yeah. So wow. your AMC is still 25, 30 minutes?
Mine is still 22 for regular screenings. For IMAX, Dolby's closer to 30. Mm. And then I think we talked about like special screenings. They're kind of like, well, it's anybody's guess. You know what I mean? Special kind of weird anime. Yeah.
Phantom event kind of thing.
Phantom events, anime.
Even Captain America was just 20 minutes from my theater.
I did Dolby and I felt like it was shorter closer to 30. Than usual. Yeah, but like at least it was 30, 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. But for me, lately, all the movies I've seen so far is 20 minutes.
And I saw new trailers, finally. Yay.
I don't look up. I just put on my headphones and just kind of like...
Look at that.
Wander
at
off that. To the corner.
I think that's the biggest influence I've had on Albert in this podcast, 9-year history and stuff like that. You don't need trailers, man. It's going raw dog it, man. Come on, man.
I do like raw dogging. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need anything.
Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Johnny.
This is Anna.
And for this episode, we are going to be doing our review of Captain America Brave New World. So, before we jump into spoilers, real quick, quick thoughts on the movie. Anna.
Wrong movie for the bad timeline.
Ooh. Okay, one. Okay, Jave.
I mean, I liked it. It's not great. I liked it, but I just felt like I there is no hope in this world right now. So this movie falls flat.
Oh, you're going for the social commentary comment. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Gotcha now. Okay, Jave.
Oh, and the Mexican didn't die. So yay!
Spoiler alert. Okay, Jave.
I have 3 points, and none of it involves spoilers. I think spoiling this movie doesn't... There's no such thing as spoiling the movie and stuff like that. I have 3 major points. My first point is, like, what do you call it? What was my point of all this and stuff like that? I think my hot take for the MCU, they've been around for, like, 18 years or something like that. They've made 30-something movies. I think they've made two bad movies, two unwatchable movies. Iron Man 2, and then what's the one? Thor, Love and Thunder. And...
My favorite movies.
And I still think that's true. You know what I mean? I don't think this is a terrible movie. This is not a bad movie like those other two movies and stuff like that. My other hot take is like, hey, if I read some really bad reviews, I heard people have described it as unwatchable, terrible. You know what? I'm not going to argue that point. You know what I mean? I'm not interested in arguing. You know what I mean? I have no interest in arguing, defending this movie because I can see it. You know what I mean? Because it's not a very good movie. You know what I mean? Do I think it's horrible? It's horrific and stuff like that? Nah, not really and stuff like that. And also my last point, I think my biggest point is 30 some odd movies in, 18 movies in, it's a ecosystem unto itself. You know what I mean? This MCU, it's just, I like being in this universe. You know what I mean? It takes a lot for me not like one of the movies. I mean, does that make any sense? Is that fair? Is that very critical thinking and stuff like that? Probably not, but I don't know. I don't know what to say. So yeah, those are my big picture thoughts as I was leaving the theater.
I went into this movie with already hearing the word of mouth that it's supposed to be bad. Mm-hmm. And I watched the movie and I'm like, what was so bad about it? Mm-hmm. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. The characters I liked. I mean, coming off from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I thought it was a good follow-up to that TV show. And surprisingly, it's also a follow-up to two other Marvel properties.
Yeah.
You know,
whose sequel is this to, you know?
Right. But it feel like it wasn't a great movie. It doesn't stand out. It felt like it's just another installment in the MCU series mm-hmm. of movies, you know? So, but in terms of like plot progression and story being told, introducing
characters that you care about, characters that move forward, having a plot.
It is like what Jamin implied.
Yeah.
It's like reading the comic books where here's another issue and here's more stuff that happened. Whether you're going to remember it 10 years from now, that's debatable. But, mm-hmm. but here's the story, you know, and you're reading it, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like to me. I was entertained. Yeah. I liked the movie. It wasn't great. But I didn't think it was bad at all. So it was like, yeah, that was my opinion on Captain America, Brave New World. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump into spoilers. And I haven't done this in a while, but I do have a spoiler theme song here.
For this thing. Nobody asked for that.
I did. Okay. Here we go. Albert, hit it. When Captain America throws his spoiler shield, all those who wish to avoid the spoil should yield. With the plot and the teams and the characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, when Captain America throws his spoiler shield. Thank you for that.
Grammy nominated. There you go.
Hey, you know, with the title of Captain America Brave New World, I could have gone for, like, you know, the Aladdin theme song thingamabob, a brand new world. So there you go, Jame. Just be glad that I went for the other one.
Could have been worse, Jame. Could have been worse.
All right, so spoilers for Captain America and a brand new world. A brand new world?
Brave new world.
Is it brave new world? No, okay. Anyways, Jame, I think you're the one that has a lot of things to say. So you want to start off or should you just...
I'll just start with the stuff that works. I think the stuff that works are the ones that they, I think everybody knows the backstory of this movie. So a lot of it's been reshot, a lot of it's kind of rejiggered and stuff like that. I would say from what
before, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to start off with the whole like reshoots thing. All movies have reshoots.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just all movies have reshoots.
Well, no, but like I know from a good source that they saw the first round of this movie and it was bad.
Yeah. I think they said it was too overly complicated, so they basically cut things down. Which I think is for the better. I mean, you don't want a movie to be overcomplicated. This isn't like a TV series.
Overly complicated?
Yeah, I will say this, though. All reshoots are not sort of equal. If everything goes well, these Marvel reshoots should be like maybe 2 weeks. You know what I mean? From what I've read over the years, like 2-3 weeks of reshoots.
Yeah.
But my understanding is this one's pretty expensive. But my understanding is this one's pretty extensive. Like at least half of the movie was kind of reshot and redid and stuff like that. The character of Sidewinder was completely brought in later on and stuff like that. So anyway,
I want to stick with the subject real quick. Mm-hmm. But I think the topic of reshoots thing is kind of debatable and divisive because the new Daredevil show has a lot of reshoots to the point where they really redid the series, but nobody's poo-pooing that TV show. Right?
Did they like bring in new characters during the reshoot?
Well, we haven't
redid the whole thing. They shot 5 episodes and they're gonna do the whole thing over again. That's what they did for that show.
That is bad news, man.
The thing is, we haven't seen the new Daredevil movie TV show yet. I don't know what the point of that is.
No, but I see nobody saw Brave New World before it came out. But everybody was already negative towards the movie because of the whole reshoots thing.
People who did see the first round of the movie were very adamant that it was not good.
Yeah. Well,
before the reshoots. The first round of reshoots.
I don't want to get too bogged down on the reshoots. Like I said, but my main point of reshoots is it's not intrinsically good or bad. It's like how you use these kind of reshoots and stuff like that. Anyway, but from what I could tell, from my naked eye, the stuff that kind of weren't reshot, that kind of like seems like they were planned out from the beginning, really worked. Like I'm thinking of the assassination sequence in the White House. That 15-20 minute scene really works. I mean, I thought it was really captivating, really good. So I think the sequence in the Indian Ocean and stuff like that with the warplanes and the two Falcons and stuff like that, I think that really works and stuff like that. But everything else, like, was kind of like doesn't work, man. The Harrison Ford of it all doesn't work. He's talking to a villain that they don't share a scene with and stuff like that. That's very tricky to pull off, man. He has a relationship with the main villain, the main antagonist, that they don't share an actual scene with. That's a rough look. The whole emotional arc of that character is with a character that you don't see until the very end, which is fine. But the thing is, the actor, Harrison Ford, didn't have that relationship with that daughter. You know what I mean? The actual daughter, what's his name? The guy passed away.
Ross,
yeah. No, how about the actor that played
Lou Tyler?
William Hurt. Yeah, William Hurt passed away and stuff like that. So you're playing off of something that actor had with that character and stuff like that, but he passed away and stuff like that. So it's all this is just rough and stuff like that. Mm. It's just kind of like hard to make these kind of connections and stuff like that with the movie and stuff like that. But like I said, but as I was watching the movie, I was never like like, hey, forget this. This is boring. This is dog shit. You know what I mean? It's, I mean, like I said, it's fine. Like I said at the beginning of this, I like being in this universe. I like Sam Wilson and stuff like that. I like his partner and stuff like that. So what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? But like I said, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? If people say, hey, this is dog shit, this is a bad movie, this is rock bottom, I'm not gonna argue the point. I'm not gonna defend this movie very much. You know what I mean? It's fine. I'm like, let's move on to the Thunderbolts. That's my whole thing.
I mean, I'll defend the movie on your points after I hear from Anna. Anna, why don't you speak your mind on this?
Speak my mind on it. I actually really like Harrison Ford. Mm. Is this the second time he's played a president?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right, because that was bothering me. I really enjoyed Sam Wilson. I like what's the character?
You forgot the name.
Sam Wilson. Is it Sam Wilson?
No, no, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Mexican guy.
I was. I was talking about the tourist guy. The tourist guy.
Is it
Joaquin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Joaquin Torres?
I thought I heard a Hawkins. Okay, sorry.
Wait, what? Hawkins.
What?
Sorry.
No, it's Joaquin.
Joaquin.
No, so I really enjoyed him. I thought he was like, I have quibbles about the way Latin characters are treated and you can't get away from it. You have to point out, oh, this character is Hispanic, so they have to say a word in Spanish. But other than that, no, I really like their camaraderie. I like the action sequences. They were really good. So I was very entertained with it. I couldn't tell if this was a Captain America movie or a Hulk movie. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait, what should I watch the Hulk before this?
Yes, you never saw Incredible Hulk?
I did, but a long time ago.
Yeah, well, like, for a lot of people, it was a long time ago. Yeah, but
it was a really long time ago.
It was like a surprise sequel to The Incredible Hulk. So.
It was.
It was their second. It was their second movie. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So overall, I did like that. I like the internal struggle Sam had with, I should have taken the serum. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. You know, it's a very, very like down to the grit, like human, again, like human vulnerability that we don't normally don't see, even though he survived a lot more things than any human could. But I did like that. I like the cameo from Bucky, who, oh my God, I would vote for him. But I struggled a little bit internally. With how they went about the Isaiah plot, and I know that, you know, the assassination and all that, but I just, in my eyes, I did feel it was a little insensitive, and it was very well done acting, but I could have done without like having him like that pain that he was like, I can't go back, and don't mess up the suit. Like, that was so hard to watch.
I feel like that was the point, though.
I know it was the point, but just like, I'm not in the right mental, like, this is not a good, like, they could, it just, if it would have come out before this year, I would have been totally fine. But yeah, it hit the heartstrings really hard and stuff, and then I'm like, yay, you know, like, Sam, you better save him. But I do understand that they changed up the character, or the storyline for the character that was the ex-Black Widow. I forgot their name already. The security person. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a lot of controversy with that character already. So they, you know, they readdressed that. They changed up a lot of things, made it a very minor character, which I was okay with. I really liked, was it Sidewinder?
Sidewinder.
I really enjoy that actor, so I thought that he brought like that gravitas that it needed.
Well, it is him, so.
And I know it is him. He's wonderful. He's amazing. So I really I'm okay with that inclusion. And I want to see, you know, obviously he's gonna pop up more, I hope. So
I doubt it, but go on.
Oh, don't say that. Give me some hope. I have no hope here. But I like the movie. I just think that it falls flat in these times of like, oh, we need to have hope. We need to aspire to hope. I'm like, you know what? There is no such thing. But I do, I did really enjoy the progress of Sam and that internal struggle and where he ends up at the end. And I do really like him as Captain America. So overall, I really was entertained with this movie. I was. There was a point where I wanted to walk out, but I pushed through it, and I was fine. And I like the action. I could have gone with a little bit more action, but what I got, I was fine with. And then the villains, I'm like, huh? Villains? Who? I always forget about them.
I did feel like the movie could have been longer, just a little bit more longer. It felt yes. like it got to the third act relatively fast, which is telling me that I'm enjoying myself because it's moving by pretty quick, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It didn't feel like a drag kind of thing. I think that might be part of the reason why it has a short runtime. Maybe they were thinking like, let's not drag this out, because they're trying to keep up. They're obviously trying to copy Winter Soldier. They're obviously doing that.
Yes,
there were so many scenes that were pretty much very similar to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Like they're trying to follow that as a template to how to do this movie, and for the most part, it does. It feels like a pale imitation of that. For obvious reasons. But I thought Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson as Captain America, immediately when I saw the guy, I'm like, Captain America. I didn't have that conflict of like him trying to grow into the role, which I did in the TV show, because he was Captain America for like half an episode at the very end kind of thing. And for me, that looked kind of weird. But in this one, I don't know. It just felt natural. Like he's Captain America. You know, I had no issue with that. I loved the whole Wakanda tech that his suit has, and the way he fights, definitely different than Steve Rogers. And I kind of appreciated that they made a definite difference between the two of them, as they should, so that he stands out more. You said that who, which, with what is the sequel to this movie for? And I think there's some truth to that, because Thaddeus Ross is definitely a co-lead. He's not a supporting character here. He's a co-lead of this movie. It's Captain America and Thunderbolt Ross is essentially what this movie is. And I thought Harrison Ford was actually really good in this. I was talking to my coworker about this, and I said, like, I think Harrison Ford actually gave him more character than William Hurt did. Because William Hurt had a very stoic, like, general kind of character. And Harrison Ford was a lot more emotional. He's a lot more emotional in the role. And I think that, for me, I like that more.
Well, he's the co-lead. You just said he's the co-lead.
He's the co-lead. But he could have tried to play it straight.
Wasn't asked for any of that. He was like maybe at most the third lead in the Incredible Hulk.
He was a supporting character. But that's the thing, though. They wrote more for him because he is the co-lead. And I like that more. So by default, Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross worked for me because they wrote him better. They gave him more of a character. They gave him more background. Like you mentioned how we don't ever see him with the villain. Or we don't see him with Betty kind of thing. But to me, that was kind of irrelevant because plot-wise, it served what it served. This, like I said, once again, I see...
Of course it matters.
No, I don't think it does.
They have to share the screen together.
Why?
They have to have some sort of connection.
Why? How many TV shows? And then once again, I mentioned this.
This is not a TV show. This is a cinematic.
This is a TV show. I've always said the MCU is like a TV show.
It's a lame thing. It's still a movie. It has to do cinematic things.
I don't
it
think
It can't
so.
Just be two people in a hallway talking to each other.
Jamie, I gave up on that fight. The MCU as movies ended with Endgame.
That's part of the problem with this movie. Some of this movie looks... The parts of this movie, the ones that they kind of reshot from what I can tell, looks very cheap. It's just people, you know, in a hallway talking and stuff.
That's
all giving exposition. Exposition.
Didn't bother me.
The fist fights with Captain America are kind of lame. They're like made for television stuff. You know
that
I mean?
Doesn't bother me.
I think if you pay $20-some-odd to watch this,
which we none of us did.
That's not the point, though.
I mean, I watch it in Dolby. But
yeah, that's not the point. The thing is, I think it's a TV show, and when I say this MCU is like a TV show, only in the sort of like story tissue, the connecting tissue and stuff like that. But it still should be shot. It should be still treated as a cinematic experience and stuff like that. I think if you spent $300 million on a movie, it should look better. It should look less cheap than this. You know what I mean?
To be fair, it wasn't a $300 million movie, but go on.
But you understand the principle, the idea.
Yeah, no, I get it. You. But I'm saying I don't want to judge it for that, because art is art. A really cheap movie can look really expensive. A really expensive movie can look really cheap. But for me, all I really care about is entertain me. You know, are you not entertained? I was entertained.
I'm not arguing whether you were entertained or not. So I'm just saying it should look better, though. You know, you should have a higher standard when you go to the movie, when you make that extra effort.
There's a lot of movies. There's a lot of movies that look cheap but are hella fun. So I can't really use the same guidelines for all movies that they have to look like they're $1 million or whatever. Because not all movies do that.
But I made the same point, but in a different way, though. I made the same point with the characters, the people, the environment that I'm in, and stuff like that. But I will defend that point. I will not defend the overall look.
To me, it felt irrelevant. Like you didn't need to make a scene with him and the leader. I didn't think that was necessary. You didn't need to have a scene beforehand showing him and Betty. They did it with pictures or whatever. But the point is that to serve the plot, it's unnecessary.
Low standard.
It was unnecessary to do those things.
But have any kind of emotional investment, though. You know what I mean?
I was emotionally invested, Jamming.
Oh, you were emotionally invested.
I was emotionally invested with what happened with Ross.
In the leader's revenge against Woodcock. The front of it. You were invested in that. You felt that. You felt his tension.
Yes, I did.
Absolutely.
I absolutely did.
Oh my God.
Look, the context of what he explained.
Obviously, we saw different movies and stuff.
The movie is full of exposition, right? All the exposition I needed was him saying, like, he was stuck down there this whole time in this film.
The thing is, if you have the resources as the MCU, you have to be more creative. You have to use more flash. Yeah, use animation and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, you gotta use more
tools. They're not shooting for the moon anymore. I think they've done that because when they do that, they spend so much money, and if it doesn't make money, they get screwed. So now their balancing act is like, let's just tell the story. You know, it doesn't have to be the best movie ever. You know, like this, let's base it on. I'm not gonna fault them for that. Like I said, I gave it like a B-, okay? I liked the movie. I didn't love the movie. I liked the movie.
Same score.
But all I was that?
Same score. I have the same score.
Same score, see? But different standards, though. So it's like I don't...
Yeah, one has it. One of us has that standard. My God.
I'm just saying,
I refuse to treat this as the missionary position. You know what I'm saying? I refuse.
We gotta
mix it up here, man.
Okay, Anna, speak your mind.
Speak your mind about what?
What you were about to say something?
I was saying like I have bad taste, but I don't have good taste. But I really felt the tension the president felt.
Mm-hmm. So did I.
And yeah. So I felt like, you know, he like the internal struggle he was going through too. So I don't know. I bought that whole storyline. And I thought it worked well. Like, okay, is Betty gonna like talk to him or not? And then she did answer his phone call, so that was nice. And you could feel like, okay, that's something. And I would have been okay if they didn't ever see each other. Obviously, we did get that. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. But I thought it even with him not seeing the villain guy, the leader guy. Yeah, I still felt like there was that like. Right. They didn't have to see each other. You already knew they didn't like each other kind of thing. You know? You felt it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. For one thing, I actually really like Harrison Ford as a president. Mm-hmm. So I think he pulls it off really well.
Yeah.
What was the other movie he was in that he was president? Was it
Air Force One? Get off my plane, you know, guy.
Get off my plane. I love that movie. So I don't know. That's just me. That stuff worked for me. It really did.
So did I. Yeah, it totally worked for me as well. I like the fact that he, throughout the whole movie, he plays the calm guy trying to push back his rage. You know, thematically, that works for the character in this context of the movie.
You mean the Hulk?
The Red Hulk. But, you know, they never call him the Red Hulk or whatever. But...
You just say Hulk. I think every Hulk faces that dilemma for the most part.
I feel like Edward Norton didn't try that. He was just like Edward Norton, and then when it turns to Hulk, it turns to the Hulk, you know. But I felt like you see some of the rage simmering in the background for Harrison Ford, and he plays the role. Because I don't get that with the other Hulk. Like Mark Ruffalo, he doesn't have to do it anymore. Because in the first Avengers movie, they already established that he's got it under control. So he never has to play that role anymore. So
yeah, I don't see that struggle.
Yeah. So, but this is the first time I'm really seeing the struggle where, like, I'm trying to keep the Hulk from coming out. Like, I'm finally seeing that in the big screen with Harrison Ford's character. Like, a lot more obvious.
He nailed it.
Time. Yeah, I think he nailed it. I totally did it. Yeah. I think he nailed it. You know, but yeah.
Oh, no. Continue your thought process, because I have a dumb thought process.
Okay. Let's jump to the dumb thought process. Go ahead.
Since Betty is back, does that mean she's going to run into Bruce? And then now that Natasha's out of the game, her and Bruce are going to get back together?
Shrug. I mean, they can always do that, I guess.
I don't think you'll see her again. I don't think you'll see her with the other guy again, Sidewinder again.
But on a side note with Liv Tyler.
I'm going to see Sidewinder again.
On a side note with Liv Tyler, she has like co-headline billing at the end credits, right? She was in it for how long? What, 30 seconds?
Hey, I mean, respect the hustle. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Like, what's his face? Didn't even get like that much in the credits. The Winter Soldier guy,
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan. He wasn't in a co-headlining role, and he was in it. He had more lines and was in it more than Liv Tyler was. And yet Liv Tyler has like a co-headlining thing.
Well, I think
they gave her the big bucks, man.
That's a surprise cameo on some of this. Sebastian Stan, and then that's probably an agent negotiating. Yeah, I'll come back, but you know.
Yeah, which tells me that.
But this one, I think you knew she was going to come back. For the moment.
We all hoped she was.
Again, what sequel is this to? Is this Captain America or the Hulk?
All of the above. Both. It's part of the MCU. It's part of the MCU storyline. See, this is what I mean. Like, I see these movies as not movies, but as just part of a serialized storytelling device. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. So,
Captain America and the Hulk.
Yeah, I'm a lot more forgiving. I feel like a lot of people who are saying this is like the worst movie ever, and they start doing exactly what you're doing, John Meg. It's like trying to technically explain to you why this scene doesn't work with this scene and this tone doesn't work with this tone. You know, that kind of thing. But I feel like that's being too nitpicky. Filmmaking wise,
no, absolutely not.
I'm saying is that everything has to be Oscar caliber.
The ideas I apply to the MCU is the same principle I apply to every movie I see.
I can't do that.
Basic storytelling.
I can't do that.
You know what I mean? A character has to have conflict. A character has to have resolution. Characters have to kind of meet and kind of have, you know what I mean? No. To exaggerate. These are basic stuff. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I can't do that. I've seen so many movies do break rules multiple times.
Those
and
they still movies,
but this and I'm saying, say, let me finish my sentence there. And they still work. No, so if
I'm
those
just saying,
if those movies
the principles
that are,
I apply to this movie, the same thing I apply to every TV show I see.
I can't
every
do that.
Movie
I can't do that.
Every book I see.
I can't do that. I feel like that's unfair.
The only exception I make is like I said at the very beginning of this, the grace I give it is because of the 33 movie sort of like, you know, goodwill and stuff like that, and the care, and so, then the what do you call it, the ecosystem, the environment, that the vibes of it, that's the grace I'll give it and stuff like that. The grace I will not give it is, like I said, storytelling mechanics, first act, second act, third act stuff, you know what I mean? That is something I will not give it grace. And also, again, if you spent X amount of dollars, if you ask the audience to spend money on IMAX, it should look cinematic. Those are things I will not forgive it for, and some of that.
Well, I mean, it looks cinematic. I mean,
parts of it does. But part of it doesn't.
Yeah.
You're talking about like,
yeah, there's some that doesn't. Raging sure.
out. There's one insert shot where he's in front of a mic and has that mustache off. It looks like they shot it, like, you know, in somebody's garage and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's obviously the insert. It's like, come on, guys. Have some standards, guys.
It's those kind of things I feel like is nitpicking a little too much. I really feel like that.
Anything that's on the screen is worth talking about. It's part of a larger point, though. It's part of a larger point of what I'm trying to make. You know what I mean?
And my larger point is, if they manage to get it to work and entertain me, that's all that matters. Seriously.
But that doesn't really mean anything. Like, you can apply that to that saying to anything. Sometimes.
Yes, you know exactly. I mean? Exactly.
The end result is what counts. Yeah. But then why even have a discussion about films and stuff like that?
No, I mean, but I'm having a discussion on what we saw in terms of like the story and the characters and the themes. That's what I'm more interested in. I'm not as interested with the filmmaking of like the lighting or the editing or the
You mean movies? Yeah, movies. You're not interested in movies.
I'm just saying.
Art of cinema. Things I think been around for like 120 years. All right.
They're all right, cinema because you see them in a big giant screen. Fair enough. I mean, there are more shots that are done wide shots. Cinema, you know, kind of thing. You know, there's a little bit more CGI than you would see in a TV show, which is true for this one. There's definitely more CGI in this one than you will see in a TV show. That's still true. You know, so there is a certain level where it's like, oh, this is a movie kind of thing. And how many how often do we see like, a studio go like, well, let's release it to the TV streaming thing, and then they watch it and go, you know what, that deserves to be in the theaters, and then they release it to the theaters and it works really well.
I don't know what any of this means though. I'm talking about this particular movie right now.
Right. My philosophy on why I don't think this is a bad movie is because it was entertaining. I like the characters. I like the story. I like how it concluded. There's a lot of things I liked about it, but the only thing that doesn't work for me, so to speak, is that it's just part of the story. It's just part of the bigger picture, and it doesn't stand out as what you're saying, a movie. It doesn't stand out as like show me like memorable scenes from this movie. There isn't really a lot of that. You know, it's just entertaining as you watch it. It's a popcorn movie, as they called it in the old days, kind of thing. That's my logic with this thing.
It's a hell of an encouragement.
Remember, I'm a more positive reviewer than you are, and I'm saying it's like I want to focus more on what I like about it because I came out of it liking it. Because if I don't like a movie, I'm able to throw down and say I don't like the movie. But a lot of it has to do more with what worked with the plot, with the character and whatnot, and less about the technicality stuff. Because there are B movies out there that are poorly made, but they are entertaining. So if those things exist, then that's the logic I have to apply to most of the things I watch. Crickets.
I've been talking too much. I was waiting for Anna just to say something.
Me? I mean, I don't. I'm not gonna harp on the movie. The things that I want to harp on. I don't know. For me, I just feel like I'm coming from a harsh critic standpoint on the fact that it wasn't necessary to mistreat the Isaiah character as much as it was. Like, yeah, it was an overall good ending, but I'm like, that man had been through so much, and to put him through this again, I just felt like it was very unnecessary.
Which we never see, though. We never see.
I know, but it's...
I don't know how you can get invested in something when something you don't see. It's too much saying, not enough showing.
Wait, I mean, you watch Falcon with the Soldier, right?
That was also done through exposition too. There's no flashback to it.
God, but I love the pain.
No, but you guys watch Falcon with the Soldier.
Oh yes, right? I did. Yes. Yeah.
So that my background with that character is based on that TV show, which is like the majority of this movie. The majority of this movie is like, well, if you have an emotional investment to these characters in a different property, then you just apply that to this movie.
My whole thing is that initial property also made a mistake of not sort of flashing back, also doing it through exposition and stuff like that. I don't know. I think 33 movies and it just relied too much on expositions, but too much talking and stuff like that.
That's the main problem with the MCU right now is that they are trying. My issue with the MCU in general is that right now they're so far into the universe. They still have the need to do exposition because they realize not everybody has seen everything.
But I'm just saying, you can be more creative. But you can use more techniques to help with these actors. These actors are not like, you know, it's hard to do exposition and stuff like that. The same issue came up with Ant-Man and the Quantumania. It's too much exposition. There's a sequence in what Shang-Chi where the ladies, Michelle Yeoh, is explaining the backstory of this universe. It's too much exposition, stuff, too much blah, 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 too much talking. You have to show, you can't tell and stuff like that. The other major issue I want to mention real quick is, you guys know the name Sarah Finn?
Yes.
Yeah. Sarah Finn is the casting director of every MCU movie except for The Incredible Hulk. And I would say she's as important as anybody else that's actually worked on the MCU, including Kevin Feige, the Russo brothers, all that. She never really misses. I think she missed on this one because the character, the special agent that helped President Ross and stuff like that, the secret agent and stuff like that, boy.
The Israeli?
Yeah, I don't... I don't want to jump in that firestorm because what do you call it? It's a hot button issue and stuff like that. So I don't want to exclude that. But if you exclude all that stuff, that character just does not work. And that chick
I have to agree.
That chick is like 5 feet tall, man. It's like, come on, man. I'm supposed to buy her as this ex-widow, badass and stuff like that. Come on, man. Like, come on.
Well, hey, now.
I kept wanting somebody to throw her the basketball and say, hey, little kid, you can go home now. It's okay. Game's over. Come on.
I mean, Jiabing, you're saying it was show and tell. She showed and tell. She showed that she could kick ass. And the one
did
scene.
Did she though? Did
yes,
she though?
That one scene yeah, when she was all that widowing.
Yeah.
I don't want to defend her, but yeah, she did.
Yeah. I think how much CGI, how much wire work did the whole budget go into that and stuff like that?
You can say the same thing with Scarlett Johansson. But point is that, yes,
no.
I don't disagree with you about the character. She seems underwritten. Like, there's a lot of that has more to do with, like, well, we're telling you who she is. That's how you're supposed to feel. Yeah.
Obviously.
But that
chick is like 2 feet tall, man.
See, but that doesn't bother me. I think it's kind
of the opposite of the Hulk. You know, instead of like expanding, she shrinks. I think she got smaller as the movie went along. Something like that. You know what I mean?
That's because she's standing next to really tall people.
They could do that bit where the bad guy like puts her hand on her head, and you know she does that swing and stuff like that. Let me out of stuff like that. It's silly.
Okay,
it's
you want to know how tall she exactly is, the actress?
It's 5 foot.
No, she's taller than 5 foot.
She's 5 foot one.
You're not just going up incorrectly. Anna, what's your guess?
4'11".
5'2". She's 5'2".
I'm 5'2".
She's not 5'2".
Am I like
that tiny?
She's not 5'2".
Come on, man.
She's
5'2".
No, she's 5'2". She's 4'11".
She's 5'2". She's just standing next to like a lot of tall actors, okay?
Do I look like that? I'm 5'2".
You're not in a big screen.
You know what? We're going to test this out.
But point is that I think she could have been more work. And she was the one character that wasn't in any other property. So it was harder for me to grab onto her. She doesn't have the acting chops of Giancarlo Esposito either to like, just like, immediately you're like, oh, I'm down with this character. You know? She doesn't have that. So unfortunately. So yeah, I agree with you. She kind of was miscast. You could blame DEI or whatever. But you know, she kind of was, it seemed like they should have got it somebody else. But yeah. Okay.
I agree. I think that was a misfire as well. I think that casting was misfire.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not going to completely blame it. You know, it's a miracle movies get made in the first place, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
it doesn't bother me that much. I'm just saying. It's like those kind of things doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah, we talk about this podcast. Nothing really bothers me. So.
I'm the Mr. Positive guy when we do reviews, remember? You're the Mr. Negative guy.
Hey, everything's great.
Everybody's playing their roles.
Yeah. Everybody's tried. I'm just Pollyanna into all this. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
We tried.
No. I mean, if you want to talk about a movie that has a decent budget and is very poorly made, I mean, come on, you got Afraid from last year. That was horrible. See that's horrible. So that's why I can't say this is a bad movie because I've seen worse movies. I had this conversation with somebody else the other week actually, and she's like I saw a Baby Girl and she was like, this has got to be the worst movie I've ever seen. I was like ready to walk out, and I'm like,
really?
I'm like, it's a bad movie, but there are much worse movies out there than that.
I don't think you can't. I think that's a wrong-headed way of doing things. You have to compare apples to apples and stuff like that. You can't compare AI, which is a horrific movie and stuff like that. That movie from last year,
Afraid,
with something like this. That thing was made for like a micro budget and stuff like that. This is a big budget, you know what I mean, tentpole movie and stuff like that. You can only compare tentpole movies to other tentpole movies, low budget movies to low budget movies and stuff like that. You can compare similar genres and stuff like that. I don't think it's fair to compare movies like that. You know what I mean? It's just not fair. Well, they're different intentions.
The equalizer that I have for everything is entertain me, make me care. That's my only standard, really. It could be the richest movie in the world or the poorest movie in the world. Your job is make me care, entertain me. That's all I ask for.
And I think it's similar. I think everything has to be sort of record. I think it has to follow a story stuff. I think all that stuff is worth talking about.
The flip side, John, is I've seen movies that are so well made. Like, technically, they are the best made movie ever. Bored the hell out of me. So that doesn't work either, see? That's what I mean. So I can't really use your standard. Because I feel I see so many things that breaks that rule, and I can't follow that because there's too many things that breaks that rule, so I can't do it.
I don't know. I think we're lost in the week of what we're talking about.
We are because we're giving
the beginning. I think I said in the middle of this. I the standards I apply from a very very nuts and bolts stuff I learned from elementary school is something I applied to all sort of movies and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Art.
You know what I mean?
Art has no rules.
No, yes, actually, it kind of does. I mean, it does.
No, it doesn't. Art has no rules.
Yes, it does.
Storytelling has no rules.
Exactly, does. But the thing is, storytelling can be codified. People have, you know, that's why you take classes and stuff. That's why you go to school, like, just to get educated. There are people that actually write this down. The thing is, stories can break rules. They could be ironic, they'd be sort of subversive, but there are rules to certain things. You know what I mean? It's not the Wild Wild West out here, man. It's not just a giant orgy.
One more point. The other point that solidified my point of view, how I review things, is The Last Jedi. You know how many people who hated the movie that will go detail by detail on why it's a poorly made movie? And I completely disagree with that. You know, that's what I mean. I don't want to be those people.
It's like a straw man argument. I'm putting on myself. I'm arguing yes and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm telling you what I'm basing my opinion on. Mm-hmm. We agree we liked it. We don't think it's that great. We agree it has flaws. The only thing we're arguing is how we got to the conclusion, Javi.
Yeah. but that's what matters, though. That matters.
That's what friends are for.
It matters.
Anna, you're the third party hearing this conversation. What does that sound like?
I'm so lost. Yeah. It's not even funny. I don't know. I have this quibble as well where, you know, I particularly don't have the best taste in movies. I will watch movies and I like them and I like being entertained and I'm like, that was a fun movie. And then I go online and it's like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Oh my God. And I'm like, you know what? Like, we just beg to, you know, agree to disagree. And I can stand on my soapbox and be like, you have to like this. How could you like this movie? Or you have to like this movie, or this movie's great. You're dumb. But overall, I just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. I am too exhausted.
That's also a larger point that I've mentioned in this podcast. But at the end of the day, we have three opinions. We saw the same movie. We have three different opinions. At the end of the day, the movie is the movie, right? But the thing is, the way we discuss the movie, it really reveals more about who we are, how we see the world, than anything else. So that's a larger point I actually want the podcast audience to come away with. You know what I mean? And that could be applied to any movie. So Captain America, this movie, you know, low budget, micro budget, you know, foreign movies, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's how you look at a movie, how it reveals what about me, the viewer, more than anything else in the movie itself. So that's a larger point too. I think we did it again, guys.
We're so awesome.
Yes, you are.
How do we do this, man?
All right.
These are awesome reviews, man. I think the podcast listeners, they love this crap.
Yeah, for the record, Jami wanted to do an episode. I didn't care less to do an episode for this.
I do what the people want, man. I do what the people want.
People argue.
I like talking about movies that we've all seen and we all have a very different perspective.
Sure.
Like, did we see the same movie? No, I don't know. I saw the Hulk sequel. What did you see?
I know. I love being a blowhard on a podcast about movies and stuff. Oh, it's the best thing, man. Yeah.
Okay. What are we here for?
All right. Thanks for listening to us argue.
Also, I'm trying to buy time for Ruthie. Did you show up?
Homegirl ain't coming. I told you.
All right. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
Oh, well, shit. Sorry. I said Ruthie. I thought, oh, she's going to show up. It's her turn to say her bit. It's me. It's JIAMINGLOU on the social media.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and I'll get your distracted. Sorry. Where was I? And everything else is on the show that's found at whoatwhereswhy.com. All right. This was episode 45. 45 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us.
Did you hit the head with a shield?
Until next time, this podcast has been a Who Would Worst Mind Production.
Let's talk about Past Life and how we all differ on our thoughts on that movie. You know?
Past Life's a grim.
Fast Five is a good movie. Yeah,
it's a great movie. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the pain. I feel like I'm going through my Past Lives moment right now, so it's okay.
It's on Paramount Plus right now.
Oh, you said. Wait, did you say Past Life or Fast Five?
I said Past Lives. Were you thinking I heard Past Five? That's fine.
That's also a good movie.
Jimmy,
doesn't it feel like this is a very much a tangent? Doesn't it feel like the Fast and Furious franchise has just dropped off the pop culture radar?
Yes.
It's like people saw 8, 7, 10 and said, you know what? That's it. No more. We don't need it more.
I don't know. I gave up on the franchise at 9 already. So yeah.
Going into space was where it jumped the shark. Yeah, that's it. Like,
nobody cares about 11. Nobody is asking, like, what's the okay that they shot it? When is it gonna be released? Nobody gives a rat's ass anymore.
It's like it's like the biggest indictment that it ended in a cliffhanger and people forgot. You know,
I'm okay with that.
A cliffhanger is supposed to keep you invested.
But it wasn't just a cliffhanger. They brought the rock back.
The cliffhanger is all these people quote unquote died. You know, that's a cliffhanger. Dead. Yeah.
They're not dead. Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. I thought Jason Momoa, like, he's a great villain.
He went for it.
Yeah, he is having fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Vin Diesel, I need you to, like, let those insecurities go and let him still be the villain because that was the most fun I've had with the villain in such a long time in the Fast and the
Furious. You think that's what's holding it up, though? Like, how? Vin Diesel's like, how do I write out the Jason Momoa character?
I was like, oh, I made him too good. I have to go back to the basics and go back to LA. I'm like, no.
Everybody's talking about him. Nobody's talking about my monotone deadpan performance.
Right. Yeah. No. Family. Yeah.